Welcome back. Professor Jonathan Marks is the director of the bioethics program at Penn State. Yes, that Penn State. And this semester for his Philosophy 119 class on ethical leadership, he used an example his students at Penn State are very familiar with, the Sandusky scandal and Joe Paterno's role in it, and the Free Report that criticized university leadership for their actions. He uses short stories and movies to illustrate ethical dilemmas. Here's a clip from one of the movies, 1964's The Best Man, Cliff Robertson and Henry Fonda, playing presidential candidates here, meeting and trying to warn each other off.
You're worse than a liar. You have no sense of right or wrong, only what'll work. No, this is going to work.
You're not going to use that now?
Oh, yes, yes. I'll use anything against you. I can't let you be president.
All right, Bill. It's your funeral. Against me, you haven't got a chance.
So what else is the class using? Professor Jonathan Marks joins us from the studios of WPSU in University Park, Pennsylvania. Professor Marks, a Penn State scandal in an ethics class. We hear the kids sat up straight for this one.
I think the topic certainly got their attention. And in fact, when one teaches a course in ethical leadership, I think sometimes there's a temptation to launch into ethical theory. And I decided instead to begin my class by going right to the heart of the matter and asking the students the question, should Joe Paterno's statue have been taken down or left up?
Well, what'd they say?
It provoked a really animated discussion, and some students were more critical of Paterno than others. And indeed, I recall that in response to one student's criticism of Joe Paterno, another student said, well, you know, I'm a Paterno undergraduate fellow at Penn State, and had it not been for him, I wouldn't be here. So I was very happy that my students were comfortable disagreeing in strong but civil terms with each other in the classroom.
Well, it's one thing to have this debate about the statue because they had that outside the classroom. They had it all across the campus. And there were very personal responses. It should stay up because I love the man, or it should come down because he betrayed me. But how do you apply ethics? I know in reading an article in the New York Times, one of your students who enrolled in the course because he wanted to be able to talk about all of this intelligently and not just, you know, in a beer-infused late-night dorm room. And he's going to write a research paper on David Lubin's theory of contrived ignorance, which is how one chooses to ignore wrongdoings to feel less responsible. That's a great theory to apply to this case. Do you actually get it to move into a conversation of Kant and other philosophers? How do you do that?
What we do is we draw on the sort of three traditional Western classical strands of ethical theory. So utilitarianism, for which we have John Stuart Mill to thank and Jeremy Bentham too. And then we also talk about virtue ethics, derived from Aristotle. And then we also talk about what are called deontological or duty-based theories derived from Immanuel Kant and others. So those are the three sort of classical Western strands in the ethical tradition. But we also get the students to explore the limitations of those approaches. And then what's important is that I'm not just doing philosophical theory in this class. For me, it was very important that this was an interdisciplinary class. And so we have also drawn on, for example, history, biography. We've drawn on behavioral science, including this sort of new emerging discipline of behavioral ethics, which draws on insights from psychology to explain why it is that we tend often not to live up to our own values and beliefs. And I also thought it was important to bring in literature. So we've been reading short stories. I've been showing short clips from films in class. We watched brief clips from that movie, The Best Man, where Henry Fonda is running for his party's nomination for president. His running mate is using mental health information in order to smear his candidate. Right. And Henry Fonda comes across some other information which he can use to retaliate. And he has this very hard decision to make, should he retaliate or not. And it's a wonderful movie because Henry Fonda demonstrates what I think some of us who study this field like to call moral imagination. He comes up with an imaginative solution to an ethical problem. We often think of ethical problems as dilemmas. And in my view, that's a mistake because a dilemma suggests there are only two options. And almost invariably, when we have an ethical challenge, there are many, many solutions. And what you require is that act of moral imagination to come up with some of those solutions.
But so what's been the reaction from the school? Here you are teaching the very thing that is giving the public relations department, you know, nightmares.
I was actually strongly encouraged by my dean and by the associate dean for undergraduate affairs to actually make the Sandusky crisis a central component in this course. Mm-hmm. And it was an invitation I willingly embraced because I considered it my responsibility to do this. And I will tell you that for me, it has been one of the most rewarding teaching experiences of my career.
Was there something that, you know, some conclusion a student had, some changing of the mind that you witnessed that surprised you?
What I've been surprised by is the imaginative discussion that we've had in class, students coming up with really intelligent ideas. I said to the students, okay, you are the president. The report has just been published. What do you do? And they came up with a dozen or so options, including such things as melting the statue down and creating a memorial for the victims of child sexual abuse, or donating the statue to a charity and using the money for some other purpose, such as a charity for victims of child sexual abuse. So they came up with a whole host of ideas all on their own just because I posed the question, what can be done?
Well, it's interesting, too. I'm noting a quote from you when the Board of Trustees at Penn State first commissioned the free report. One of the trustees said, "The entire board is intent on taking all steps necessary to ensure that our institution never again has to ask whether it did the right thing or whether or not it could have done more."
My response to that was, those are exactly the questions you should always be asking yourself.
Yes.
You should always be asking yourself whether you've done the right thing or not and whether you could or do more. And the moment you give up on that enterprise is the moment you and your institution become vulnerable.
It's also the moment you don't have an ethics class or a philosophy department, because that's what you do. I know the students have just a couple more weeks. Well, what is your sense as the course closes out? Successful?
I think what we've learned collectively is that in order to really understand some of these complex questions, what we need to do is not just think about individuals and individual behavior, but also think about how we can structure our institutions and our society at large to promote the kind of ethical behaviors that we want to see in ourselves and in others.
Professor Marks, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Professor Jonathan Marks, Director of the Bioethics Program at Penn State, also Associate Director of the school's Rock Ethics Institute, and a lab fellow at the Edmund J. Safra Center for Ethics at Harvard University. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, why a mayonnaise recipe is being put to song in the cemetery here. There is a good answer, here and now.